We're grateful to have you listening. Please remember that the Gospel Radio Network has the archive section labeled there in front of you on demand. And if you are keeping up with a particular program, let's say Jason Sparks' program that comes on Thursdays, Sparking Spiritual Growth, you can go back and you can identify that, click on it, and go down through the archived lessons and listen to one or all of them. So we have a great programming lineup here, and we hope that you're taking advantage of it. But at the moment, we're glad that you're listening to Mornings for the Master. And so we're coming to you live today from the office area of the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. We have our own studio set up here to where we can broadcast regularly. And so this is not a rerun, as it were. This is the live thing. And so mistakes will be heard together. We're thankful that you're here. So many of you listen regularly. I know my lovely wife listens on a regular basis. So I love you, and I hope you have a warm day over there. And I'll see you this afternoon, Lord willing. Love you much. My mother listens on a regular basis over there in Tennessee, and she and Grandma are bustling about their day, getting started. So howdy to y'all, and love y'all very much. Just go down from Nashville area there. You go into the Calhoun area where our good brother administrator and his good family, the Suthoffs, abide and work there with the Calhoun Church. And so we salute you this morning. We've got folks in Alabama, got folks in Florida, got folks in Southwest Virginia. We salute the Hocketts who listen on a regular basis. And we love you guys very much, all of you that are listening. We've got the McClures way up in South Dakota that are listening. And we appreciate y'all very much and love y'all. And look forward to seeing you again real soon. Y'all need to think up a reason to come back and visit real quick. But anyway, we've got lots of folks around here listening. We are certainly proud to know that many of our first responding members listen, and they're good families as well. And we love you guys very much. And I usually trip over the names, but we'll try anyway. We've got Brad. We've got Eric. We've got Andy. We've also got Brian, which is even our announcer. We've got Kaysen and Colby. We've got several that work here on a regular basis that protect us, protect surrounding communities, and they have admitted that they listen in between shifts and in between calls and on their way home from their duty stations, etc. So we are thankful, certainly, to have you guys listening. You know, the Smithies and Priscilla and Ryan. I was trying to think of their names. Ugh, I hate when I do that. They're still working very hard down in the San Angelo area, raising those two phenomenal children, Seth and Hannah. So we love all of them and appreciate y'all so much and everything that you do. And look forward to seeing y'all and Miss Frieda again one day real soon. We were supposed to see them back at our Make Me a Servant workshop, and the weather just was not cooperating, so we didn't get to see them or the Suthoffs. But hope to see y'all soon. Absolutely hope to see y'all soon. It goes without saying, everybody has some degree of troubledness about them this morning as you look and see folks that are getting overrun there in the Ukraine area by the Russian forces. And so, you know, lots of death, lots of suffering over that way. So please remember those folks in your prayers. Our president has announced that he's sending additional troops into the Eastern European area, perhaps even Germany. Not sure exactly what that looks like. So pray for our men and women that are being or are about to be deployed to that region, maybe just for some saber rattling or posturing, don't know. But anyway, lots of things going on there. So pray as diligently as you can for that effort. It's certainly our duty to pray for world leaders and enemies. And so it is our responsibility. Looks like we've just got two things on the bulletin board that I can see. Let's see. So tonight is the annual gospel singing over in the DeKalb Church Christ there in DeKalb, Texas. And so they've invited us up tonight at 7 p.m., and they're hoping to be done by 9 or 9:30. They said refreshments will be provided. And so this is a great opportunity for fellowship, and they would love to see you there. And so if you have the opportunity, please visit them there tonight and join in with that great gospel singing. Nothing greater than sitting together with your family members and practicing for heaven's work. We will be singing praises and fellowshipping for the rest of eternity if we're found faithful at death. And so get ready, because this is what eternity is all about, and tonight's a great opportunity to practice that. Also, coming up in March the 18th, the Home of Recovery and Restoration down in Winnsboro, Texas, one of those great works that Mount Vernon helps to support and many others as well. We are helping with their gospel singing. They're having supper and a singing, I think is what they're calling it. And so it begins about 5 o'clock, I believe. I don't have the flyer in front of me. That's very irresponsible of me. But that's March the 18th. And so if you have the opportunity to go down there, and if you have the opportunity to go and lead singing, I should add, we need to let somebody know, because we are taking the projector and everything with us, as opposed to dragging a bunch of books and maybe losing or misplacing some books or whatever. And so if you're going to lead songs, we need to know ahead of time so that we can put them into the system and have them ready to be broadcasted. So March the 18th for that great event, beginning at 5 o'clock for supper. And I think they're doing it in the outbuilding. They've got a great new outbuilding that they've just put out. Let's see, March 18th. Oh, and then March 20th. That same weekend, Phil Sanders is going to be preaching a gospel meeting there at the North Jefferson congregation, and it'll run to Wednesday. So look forward to that as well. I actually left the flyer in the other room, so I'll have to get that back out. But Phil always does a great work. He's a very well-known gospel preacher, very faithful young man, and does a great job with the exegesis of Scripture. So you'd be blessed to have opportunity to visit them the 20th through the 23rd of March. And then right around the corner, before you know it, May's going to be here if the Lord allows. And we are having a gospel meeting here beginning at the front of May with Don Blackwell, another one of those well-known brothers that gets around. His face is everywhere. He's on GBN. He's on many of the DVDs and recorded things there at the WVBS headquarters in Maxwell, Texas. He does gospel meetings all over the place. So anyway, we are just fortunate to have him. We scheduled him some 4 or 5 years ago and has just now come up in our rotation. So we'll give you more information as that day approaches, but that's May 1 through 4, if you want to go ahead and mark that on your calendar. Can't think of anything right off the top of my head. Two special prayer requests. We've asked you to continue to remember Deanna De Leon as she is down there around the Conroe area and still healing from that horrible, horrible, life-altering car wreck in which she was involved. And so continue to pray for her. Tammy Hudson, our good sister down in that area, is keeping us abreast of her recovery and continues to tell us that she is doing better and better day by day. So absolutely, God is great. Also, our good sister here, Carol Sessoms, we are praying diligently for her on her behalf. She has a type of cancer that is eating away and causing great pain physically. And so we have been praying for her. We would pray certainly that God would allow this pain to subside, even have the cancer removed. That's ultimately our prayer. But first and foremost, as she goes through this, we pray that her pain would subside. She's currently in the hospital receiving some blood and some potassium to get her back to a more functioning level there at home. And our good sister, Tarita, her great friend and sister, is there with her. She is an avid listener of all things gospel radio, and so we know that she, if she's not listening now, she will be listening to archive segments. And so please know, Carol, we love you, and we are praying for you diligently, even as we speak. So several things to bring to you there on that front. I know many of you here locally that listen are already offering up those prayers, and we are grateful for that. Also, coming up right around the corner, I just happen to remember, not this Sunday, obviously, but the following Sunday, March 6th, I guess it is, our Friends and Family Day. We've got our meal on the ground and card writing event that always is phenomenal. So if you're local, go ahead and remember, it's not this Sunday, but the next Sunday. And we look forward to that also. I think that's it. All the paperwork, all the housekeeping seems to be done. It's 13 after, so that's about right. That means that we must now, ding, 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 we've got to take a drink of our coffee. So y'all lift those coffee mugs high. Oh, boy. Man, that's good. All right. Without further ado, let us turn back to God's Word. We've been Matthew chapter 10. We're getting toward the end of the chapter and moving slowly and deliberately through the text, giving as much meaning as we can along the way. And so we began, if you remember, and just to back up in memory for a minute, as we began the chapter, we saw the list of the 12. And we spent just a few minutes anyway talking about the various ways that they are mentioned, order of recital, names that are added or changed, as it were, in the different texts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and even as they are seen over in Acts. So we talked about the 12. And we had opportunity to also talk about the Great Commission that is going to begin now, the limited commission that began even in verse 5. And he told them that they were to go to the Jewish listeners only. And so this is why it's commonly referred to as the limited commission. We need to be sure about our terminology as we use it from time to time, something that you hear on a regular basis, something like the minor prophets. One needs to know exactly why they're called the minor prophets. Were they less important than Isaiah and Jeremiah? Were they less important than Ezekiel? Were they less important than any other prophets that have walked the face of the earth? No. The fact is that in the minor prophets, basically, there's just less material. Kind of a simple reality. But we need to know those things as we are mentioning those things. We need to be able to understand our terms. And so when we say limited commission, we need to know what that is. You know, it's just very important to me, certainly as a teacher and you as a listener. We need to understand what we're talking about, yes? When we talk about Greek, we need to be specific. Talk about the Koine Greek that we find in the New Testament. It won't take you long to find out that it's a dead language. And so that's why we need to spend so much time studying it. It's not something that we can just flip a light on and say, oh, well, here's how they use it today. Well, it's not used today. So we need to make sure and know our terms, our terminology, our language needs to be precise. Beginning in verse 9, Jesus would explain how they were to carry out the limited commission. So he began with the idea of provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, And so he told them how to go, how to prepare, and he would explain very simply, very succinctly, he would explain that they need to understand that they are going to be relying on God. They need to learn a reliance on God. And the message is the same for us today. We need to learn that reliance on God. We need to be content with those things with which He has blessed us. Matthew 6, verse 33, we've already covered it in our study here. But priorities are everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things shall be added unto you. And so you won't need to be anxious. We don't need to be worrying about these things because your priorities are right. As it continued, verse 16, beginning, talked about this supernatural guidance that was promised to them. And certainly we had opportunity to go back and look at passages like Matthew 16 or Mark 16 and verse 20 and talk about the way that Jesus would work with them, even through signs and wonders, these miracles, the power that they had even in the first century that would help the first century church, Acts chapter 2 forward, get off the ground, as it were. That scaffolding of the miraculous, well, it was for the confirming of the word and the speaker, right? So we understand there's a reason for it, and we talked about that for a little while. The supernatural powers that they would be given, certainly for the confirmation of themselves as speakers and the word that they were speaking as from the throne of God. And that goes to authority. That goes to its originator, God the Father and the provider. Beginning at verse 21, we had the opportunity to look at further details of the persecution that they were going to be facing. Jesus will say, they hated me, and so they're going to hate you. You can expect that. And we see a lot of that today. Don't know that there's a lot of martyrdom going on today, but we do know that people will continue to suffer. If any man suffer as a Christian, Paul would say, we glorify God in this way. And in Acts chapter 5, I believe it was, the apostles, when they were beaten, they glorified God, singing praises to His name because they were counted worthy to suffer. And so we can look forward to being hated. We can look forward to being spit upon, as it were, sometimes even metaphorically, sometimes physically. But people will despise the truth. They've always hated darkness. Light hates darkness. And so we talked about that for a little while as well. And we had come into the discussion last time, I believe, beginning at verse 26, about who we should properly fear, right? Don't fear them that can kill the body, verse 28, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so that gets into our reverence for God. God has given us everything. He has given us our fellow man. He has created all mankind. And so when your fellow mankind threatens you, certainly, you know, that is a frightful thing to consider. But the only thing that they can do is expedite your trip to paradise, if you're living faithfully, certainly. But don't fear man, but fear God. And so we had come last week, I think, down to about verse 29, where we see the value of confessing Christ, and even ultimately the flip side of that coin is the tragedy of denying Him, right? So beginning in verse 29, the Bible says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." We are the crown of His creation. We learn about that in the very beginning pages of the Bible, there in the Genesis record, right? He prepared all things for His crown of creation. Notice that he prepared the beautiful garden prior to setting man in it. And he gave them the job of keeping it and dressing it and naming the animals. And they had a job to do. And that's another sermon in and of itself. And you know where I would go with that. But understand, please, that God has given us everything. He has blessed us. But we are of more value than the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And the reason is because he has blessed us with the indwelling of that eternal peace of him. We're created in his image. And so the soul is only in humankind, mankind. You know, the little doggies, the little kitties, the little calves, the elephants, the lions, they don't have souls, but man does. And so, as we think about this today, notice as you go back and you look contextually, you look regionally, you begin to understand as you read that there in the Palestinian area, sparrows, even at that time, as it is recorded by some of these theologians that have written for our admonition, we understand that in that day and time, they were everywhere, and so they were sold in the marketplaces. And since they were so plentiful and so small, you know, you can kind of figure it out. Their value was small. Don't know that you could really make the case, but, I mean, as far as buying and selling, you could say supply and demand. Now, if there was only few sparrows, if they were an endangered species, then that would change the dynamic. But sparrows were everywhere. And so here as Jesus spoke, perhaps, as we have suggested in many other locations, perhaps seeing the sparrow, he added this to his teaching as he was speaking. So even though their value was little, notice that even when one of these little, perhaps we could say insignificant to some degree, one of these would die, God knows it. God knows it. You see, God knows everything. He is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's eternal. He knows everything. That should shake us to the very core. That should really be a comfort to us. He knows our cares and our sorrows. He knows our anxieties. He knows everything. And he certainly knows about the sparrows, every single one of them. We're of much greater value. And so he's making this point to us about our value. It's been my opportunity down through the years to counsel with individuals just because of the position that I hold as a minister for the Lord. All of us have had those responsibilities. But you know how it is. A lot of people, first thing they do is they call the preacher, and that's fine. But it's been my experience personally that people don't think as highly of themselves as God does. And many of the problems, even psychological problems, the mental aspects that we struggle with, sometimes find their root in self-appreciation. How many times do you read, love your neighbor as you love yourself? Love your wives as you love yourselves. Too many of us don't love ourselves. We do things against ourselves. We fight ourselves. Alcoholics, they don't love themselves, right? They're trying to destroy themselves. Drug addicts, they don't love themselves. They're trying to destroy themselves, and on we could go. We get the point. We have got to love ourselves. God thinks very highly of us. Remember back in Judges, and this is one of those high points that's easy to illustrate. Gideon was hiding as the enemy forces were marching through the land, and he was threshing in a location that would be undisclosed, somewhat secretive. And God, in kind of a paraphrase fashion here, he says, you need to come out of hiding, and you need to fight. You are a mighty man of valor. You see, as you look at that overall picture, Gideon was not thinking as highly of himself as God thought of him. And that's our problem many times. We need to think more highly of ourselves, point blank. And so we are of great value, more value than the sparrows. And so if God is interested in their affairs and knows when one of those little, even insignificant animals falls to the ground, how much more then does he know about every aspect of you? He knows about the hairs on your head. He knows that you're losing your hair. He knows that you're coloring your hair, right? Yeah, we're not supposed to go there, I know, but he knows everything about you. And you are of great value to him. And so the point really has to be seen that he wants us to be fearless in the face of our enemies, right? If you back up, what? Persecution, threats, hatred, all that's coming your way. But God cares about you, and God is aware of your struggles, and he wants to help you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be there by your side, but you've got to let him, right? What fellowship have dark and light? There is none. We've got to guard our purity so that God can walk with us the way he walked with Enoch. Very important. But we've got to, first and foremost, think more highly of ourselves. And this isn't the conceited, prideful thoughts that I'm throwing out there. We need to make sure that we are humble, we are submissive, we are obedient. And this is what makes us to be that quiet and peaceable Christian influence in the world, salt and light. And so we are more valuable than the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And that's supposed to bring us comfort. We should know how much God cares for us. We should be thankful that he has been mindful of us all these many years. The proof that God does actually watch over the tiniest citizens in his universe is seen in the fact that the sparrows that we see, they are the descendants of sparrows which have lived upon earth for uncounted thousands of years. Just as you have had predecessors and ancestors that have walked the face of this planet for thousands of years. And he cares for you. Excuse me. He cares for you. And he knows everything about you. Verse 32, beginning, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Further reasons that God is giving us here to be fearless in the face of enemies. You continue confessing Christ. You continue teaching and preaching the gospel. 2 Timothy 4:2, in season, out of season, that is when it's popular, when it's not popular, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, right? Make sure that the people know what the law is and then tell them specifically how to be obedient unto it. Preach the word. Be urgent about preaching the word, because souls are being lost every single day. It's just that important. To confess Jesus, as the passages stated before us, it's to make him the object of our lives. We confess Jesus in our speech. Excuse me. We confess Jesus in our lives. We confess Jesus in the movies we see, the things that we post, right? We confess Jesus in our everyday walk of life. And so to confess him is something that we must be all about. And to deny him, to put him in the closet, to keep him in the back seat so that somebody doesn't see him, that's equivalent with denying him, and deniers go to hell. That's basically what we find here. Because he said, I will deny them before my Father which is in heaven. Those that are denied are those that go to hell. And so none of us wants that outcome in our lives. As you look back through Scripture, you see many that have confessed, those that have said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, like Peter. You've seen others all throughout the book of Acts. You've heard the statement in Romans 10, beginning at verses 9 and going through, I guess, 9 and 10. It is from a pure heart. It's made with the mouth. And it's in the direction of salvation. That's because the ultimate salvation of your soul is going to be had at the judgment day when you hear, well done. What a great day that'll be. Confession is a part of our daily life. And so, again, as it relates to the limited commission and these men going out as sheep among wolves, these individuals that are going to be hated because Jesus was hated, these people that are going out and have to rely on their fellow man because God wants it that way. Don't take your purse, don't take your script, don't take another stuff, you know. All those instructions, we need to understand that reliance has everything to do with the preaching of the gospel. We rely on God. And so in this context, continue confessing, even when they hate you, even when they threaten you, when they kill the man standing next to you, don't stop confessing. Continue, be thou faithful unto death. Revelation 2, verse 10. Verse 34, beginning, going through, let's read through verse 36. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and his daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now, I know, I know good and well that there are passages like Ephesians 6 and verse 15 that refer to the gospel as the gospel of peace. I know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I know that the gospel establishes peace between those that obey the gospel and between the obedient ones and God. That's Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 16. There is that peace, that great fellowship of peace even. However, the gospel of peace becomes a stumbling block in front of those that reject it. And with many of these, they're not content merely to neglect or refuse to obey it. They also oppose it, and they oppose all that follow it. I don't know how many door knockings that I participated in over the years, but rejection is part of that. And because many times the rejection is sometimes heated, people fear that. I mean, everybody likes to be liked. Everybody likes to be accepted. But that's not the way it is with a Christian. You see, the Christian knows. The Christian knows that rejection is coming his way. And so we prepare ourselves. That's part of the battle strategy, right? I mean, as horrible of it as of an example as it is, what you're seeing on television, that's not something that just happened in the blink of an eye. This is something that has been prepared for months, I would say for years, but for months anyway, as we have seen the ramping up, the posturing, the positioning of equipment, etc., over on the Russian side. This goes to the point I'm trying to make of we must have a battle plan. That's what the New Testament is all about. Here he's giving them a battle strategy. Be prepared for persecution. Continue confessing my name. And don't think that everything is going to be a bed of roses. Right? The gospel is going to cause division. I know of specific cases where, like, a husband is converted, and the wife is like, I don't think so. You must have found a cult or something. And maybe even divorce finds its way into that marriage. You see, there is such a thing as peace, inner peace, peace that passes all understanding, the peace of the gospel, the peaceable kingdom. But friends, when folks reject it, there is upheaval, there is anger, there is hatred, there is confusion, there is all of that, because that's what the devil is all about. He is the prince of unrest, the prince of confusion. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And so over and again, we need to be reminded that the Christian life is not an easy life. It is a life that's going to be faced with many moments of hatred, many moments of unrest, lots of that going on. And so he says, I came not to send peace, but a sword. Hebrews 4 and verse number 12, the two-edged sword. That sword that is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, people don't like to know that they're doing wrong. And when they are exposed for doing wrong, as Jesus daily did, even around those Herodians and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the scribes, daily exposing them, ultimately, as Pilate saw on that fateful day, he knew that they had delivered Jesus out of envy. You see, dark hates light. Jesus is the light of the world, and we're his great reflectors here on this planet as long as we live. And so, don't be surprised that rejection and acceptance are under the same roof. Isn't that interesting? As you, I'm just sitting here thinking out loud, I guess, on live radio. But you go back to Acts chapter 2. And we don't truly know the numbers, but, I mean, the three feasts that the Jewish men had to attend every single year, Passover, Pentecost, and even Tabernacles, right? Those three feasts every year. Pentecost being 50 days beyond, right, the Feast of Weeks, beyond Passover. Jesus was killed at Passover, raised on the first day of the week, with us an additional 40 days, as recorded there in 1 Corinthians 15. And then there was 10 days that the apostles would be waiting for the deliverance of God's holy power on the first day of the week, which comes to be Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. And so, I don't know how many people were there. I could safely say 100,000 and probably not be wrong. I could probably say 1 million and maybe not be wrong. We don't know how many people were there, but that day, 3,000 people responded to the preaching of the gospel. 3,000 of those Jewish souls that knew the Torah, those individuals that knew about Messiah and understood, readily understood and accepted the preaching of the gospel, there that you see by Peter and the other apostles in Acts chapter 2, they were obedient. 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel that day. Now, there, that means that probably a multitude did not. That's what we see here. There's going to be two different scenarios. Now, the other side of that, as we mentioned on probably a regular basis, over in Acts 7, especially at the end, as Stephen is preaching the gospel, and by comparison is basically the same sermon that you hear in Acts chapter 2, nevertheless, he does not have even one convert. The Bible shows us there that they swelled up with envy and anger and opposition, and they stoned him to death. And so you understand how the sword works. Old Marshall Keeble would tell us that it cuts you a coming and a going. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It shows us the areas where we're weak and encourages us, reprove, rebuke, exhort, exhorts us, encourages us to step up and do better. That gets back to the idea of thinking more highly of ourselves. Oh, I just can't learn scriptures. I can't memorize no scriptures. I'm just not a good reader. Man, you need to step off that cloud. Don't be like Gideon was. You are a mighty warrior, and you need to get to it. Put on the armor, Ephesians 6, and get to fighting. Get into the fray. Verse 37 through 39 says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." My friends, we're going to be tested on a daily basis. One of the most precious relationships on this planet, got me, on this planet, is between a mother and child. Nothing greater. And the reason is because God created it that way. The woman is blessed to have the opportunity to carry that child within her womb. It is a part of her for at least 9 months. And then when that baby is born, it's given immediately to the mother, because she therefore has the responsibility going forward of nourishing that baby. But there may come a time when you have to even step away from your mother. When a mother may very well have to step away from the child. And that is because of disobedience to God. If we continue to allow that relationship to influence us, we do stupid things. Like we start going over here to this congregation because they don't ever teach about adultery. You know, my daughter's an adulteress, and it just offends me to hear that kind of talk. My daughter's a cheerleader, and so that pulpit preacher over there, he's constantly talking about modest apparel and dancing, and I just hate hearing about that because I love my daughter. I love my granddaughter. You see, we do stupid things. Let's just be honest. When we try to love mother and father, son or daughter, more than God. God won't have that. He wants our full devotion. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy strength. Not a little bit of each. Not a majority of each, but all of. He wants you all. And that's the way you're supposed to raise your kids. That way there's no division. Mother doesn't have to walk away from son. Son doesn't have to walk away from mother. You see, there is a design in the foreknowledge of God. But please understand, if you're going to serve God, you've got to get your priorities straight. You've got to get your priorities straight. There are people in this world, there's people in the kingdom of Jesus Christ that don't want anything to do with certain teachings like homosexuality. Because recently we just found out our son is a homosexual. And we know that God loves our son. We love our son. But your son needs to repent. And you need to be the one to encourage him to repent. And when he doesn't, you need to distance yourself from that type of rebellion, because that type of rebellion will cost you your soul. Point blank. No sense in sugarcoating it. God comes first. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. End of story. You see, as he is preparing them to go out as sheep among wolves, they need to know all of the truth. He doesn't say, well, we'll talk about that later. That's kind of some deep stuff. We'll have a study about that. No, as you're going out into the world, you need to know the facts. And he says, if your priorities are not straight, if I am not number one in your life, you're not worthy of me. End of story. You see, God has to be the very first in all of the decisions that we make. I have described it to various audiences, especially with children, the picture of the coffee pot. You know, you pour the water into the machine, and it goes through the filter, and when it comes out, it's coffee. You take water, and you change it into something different. Now, without the filter, you're still just stuck with water. Maybe some hot water. You see, too many times we pull the filter out. We've got to keep the biblical filter in our lives. Protects our hearts, protects our minds, protects our mouths, protects our hands and feet. We've got to have our priorities straight. And when we're going out into the fray, we've got to make sure we've got all the facts. Just that simple. Beginning of verse 40, this treatment of disciples. There's going to be a reward one day. He that receiveth you receives me, and he that receiveth me not receiveth him that sent me. And so, the one that says, yes, I'd love to have a Bible study, they're not just accepting you, they're accepting God. They're allowing God to speak in their lives. That's why this idea of these testimonies is just so dumb. What's going to save a man? A story about how I made it through jail by praying every day? Or the saving gospel message that's been heralded for nearly 2,000 years, even beginning with Peter and the other apostles in Acts 2. That's the message. That's the power, Romans 1, 16 and 17. That's the discerning ability, Hebrews 4 and verse number 12. Stop with the testimonies already and let Jesus speak. When they receive you preaching Jesus, they're receiving Jesus. And that's what we're here to do, to preach the whole counsel of God. You know, I just had that moment. My head works in mysterious ways. And I see Jody going, uh-huh. I just thought about the idea that we see in the Old Testament with Saul. Remember when they came and they said, or not Saul, Samuel. And they came and they said, make us a king so that we can be like everybody else, remember? And he was terribly upset about that. And as he approached God, God comforted Samuel. And he said, Samuel, they've not rejected you. They rejected me. Same way today, 21st century, you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and they're like, no, I don't believe so. It's not for me. And we feel bad about that because we understand the value of a soul, but understand they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. They're rejecting the crucified Savior. So we need to get those facts straight as we go out into the fray. Verse 41 and following, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. We're almost out of time. We get into some what they refer to as Hebraisms, getting into the Hebrew language. In the name of a prophet is one of those Hebraisms. It's because he is a prophet. So he who receives a prophet because he is a prophet, or a righteous man because he is a righteous man, or who gives a drink of water to a disciple because he is a disciple, this distinctly recognizes that individual's relationship to God as the ground of the act. And so if you look into the original language, it helps us to understand. I remember one time not too long ago when we got to this sister passage and we mentioned that he that hateth mother or father not, or whatever that language is, I'm not quoting it obviously, and a hand went up in our audience and says, if God is all about love, why is he telling us here to hate our mother and father? Well, again, you've got to get into the language, and possibly a New King or an ESV might do a better job with that particular thought, because it says, he that loves father or mother less. That's what the hate is there in its original language. We're not required to hate anybody. We're required to love our enemies, you know. So we have to understand the language is being used, and possibly that helps us as we get through here, understanding the basis of the act, because he is a prophet, because he is a disciple, right? We better wrap it up right there. Let's stop, and I'm going to put my little mark right here, and we will pick up right here in verse 41 and following next week, if the Lord allows. Hopefully he's going to come to get us tonight, and we'll be joined together in that eternal realm. But if he doesn't, first and foremost, I'll see you Sunday morning as we worship him in spirit and in truth. And then secondly, I'll see you Wednesday. But thirdly, if we're still here, We will see you on Friday morning for another edition of Mornings for the Master. So between now and then, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever the day is that's in your mind, pray that first and foremost, God would continue to richly bless you and your family. Continue walking in the light as He is in the light. And great fellowship belongs to you and those around you of like passionate faith. We're proud of you and we love you very much. And we hope that you'll continue to have a great morning for the Master. Love you guys.